You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
He is the conquering king, the Alpha, the Omega, everybody, the beginning and the end. He is the one who was, who is, and who is to come. And here's the big word, the Almighty. Jesus is the eternal, all-knowing, unchanging, all-powerful, transcendent, meaning above all of them, Savior and King.
In a world that's ever-changing, God's power remains constant and His truth stands firm. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, and far above all things, yet near to every heart that calls on Him. Pastor Dion reminds you in his message today that God is not only transcendent and mighty, but also your Savior and King. There's nothing beyond His reach, no moment outside His presence, and no life beyond His care. Let your heart rest in His greatness, and let your spirit rise in worship to the everlasting King. Now let's join Pastor Dion in the book of Luke, chapter 9, with today's edition of The Simple Truth.
When Jesus was going to walk through Samaria, the Samaritans stopped Him and said, "Nope, not through here. We don't want to hear your message. We don't want you coming through here." That's when James and John step up and ask Jesus, "Do you want us to call fire down from heaven on them? Let's just burn these people." Pretty interesting characters. In fact, John even bullied a man that was doing Jesus' work outside of their group. There was a man who was casting out demons in Jesus' name and wasn't part of their group. And here's what John told Jesus. "I rebuked him." I bet he did. I bet he did, huh? He rebuked him. No wonder Jesus nicknamed these boys, James and John, the sons of thunder. Say it out loud, the sons of thunder. This was probably their crest, or maybe it was a tattoo that they wore on their arms. Sons of thunder, James and John. You know, John had probably been a bully his whole life, and people hated him for it. His brash, arrogant, impatient, forceful personality made people avoid John and despise him. But Jesus loved him unconditionally. Say it out loud. What did Jesus do? Jesus loved him unconditionally. Jesus accepts us the way we are. Hard, proud, angry, selfish, hateful, deceitful, bitter, bad to the bone, right? He accepts us the way we are, but His love penetrates and touches and transforms our lives. Everybody say it. Jesus changes lives. Say it out loud. Jesus changes lives. If you're a recipient, go ahead and say, "Hey, yeah." I mean, spending time with Jesus and His Word softens a hard heart. Here's how Ezekiel explained it. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you," God said, "and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and I will give you a new heart and will put a new spirit in you. And I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." Woo! Thank God for what He does. Jesus' unconditional love changed John from angry to peaceful, from mean to gentle, from son of thunder to the apostle of love. Kind of like the alcoholic man who had lived a pretty wretched life. He used to drink all of his paycheck. He was violent towards his wife and his children. He pawned whatever he could to maintain his addiction until one day he surrendered his life to Jesus. After months of telling his conversion story to his co-workers, one of them taunted him. "Don't tell me you believe that turning into water into wine, malarkey." He looked at the man and he said, "Yes, I do. And if you come to my house, I'll show you how he turned beer into groceries and furniture and carpet and clothing for my wife and my kids." If given the opportunity, Jesus will miraculously transform you. That's what he did for John. And that's what happened to John. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, John became known as the apostle of love. Loving, sensitive, patient, and kind. Everybody say, what a change. I hope that's what they're saying about you. What a change. In fact, Pastor John affectionately called his congregation members, because he became a pastor, he affectionately called his congregation members little children. The word is kiddos. Everybody said he loved them. Hey, kiddos. It was a cariño. Unfortunately, as the church grew, so did Roman persecution. The emperor Nero declared war on Christians at this time. And Nero would entertain himself by crucifying and beheading Christians. He would feed them alive to wild beasts in the Colosseum. Nero would wrap these Christians in combustible materials, impale them on poles, and burn them alive. During Nero's evil reign of terror, John's older brother James was murdered. He was beheaded for his faith. Peter was crucified upside down. And the apostle Paul was beheaded in Rome underneath Nero's watch. After Nero came the emperor Domitian. There he is. Domitian tortured and murdered over 40,000 Christians. During Domitian's reign, John, our apostle, our author, was arrested and sentenced to death to be boiled in oil. John miraculously survived. Just goes to show that if God isn't finished with you, no one or nothing can stop your destiny. If God is for us, who can be against us? John survived it. John was the last living eyewitness of Jesus. And Jesus needed his influence to relay a message, a revelation. That's why John's destiny couldn't be stopped. God still had a job for him to do, to relay a message, a revelation. After surviving the boiling oil, Emperor Domitian was incensed that John survived. And he ordered the then 80-year-old John, how old is he now? 80 years old, to be exiled to the island of Patmos. The island was a prison labor camp, a concentration camp of sorts. It was a place where men died of fatigue, dehydration, and starvation, mining the volcanic rock. It was here on the Isle of Patmos that Jesus visited John, gave him a vision and a commission. Write to the churches. That's what he told him. Write to the churches. I mean, with all the persecution, Christians in the churches had lost hope, had lost faith, had lost passion. They had lost their salt, their fire, their focus. Their faith was becoming lukewarm or cold. They needed their faith inspired. They needed their spirits revived. They needed their hope rekindled. They needed to know that the enemy would not win. They needed to know that our hero is coming. That's what they needed to know. And that's why Jesus said, write to the churches. Let's read, starting from verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and is to come, the Almighty. Our culture is growing progressively evil. Wickedness seems to intensify. There's natural disasters, nuclear threats, terrorist attacks, increasing crime and violence, and all the unrest can cause believers to doubt, to drift, even to defect. John writes, don't let what you've been looking at discourage you. Don't let everything you see depress you and derail you. You're looking at the wrong stuff. Focus your eyes on Jesus. To the writer of the persecuted Hebrew Christians, he said it like this. Hebrews 12, read it with me. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Let's read that last part again. We do this by what? Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. See him in all of his glory, unveiled, unwrapped, full strength. That's what John was saying as he introduces this book. He says, listen, there's a lot of persecution. You can feel threatened. You can feel fearful. You can feel, indifferent. You can feel a lot of things. But don't put your eyes on all that stuff. Everybody, what do we need to do? Keep our eyes on Jesus. And not just the Christmas Jesus. Jesus in his full strength, the Jesus that I'm about to introduce to you, he says. Keep your eyes. John had seen a little of this concentrated Jesus. He had seen that. He had seen Jesus in full strength on the mountain of transfiguration. You remember Jesus was up there with Peter, James, and John. They were there together, and all of a sudden, he said that Jesus began to radiate a white light that was whiter than they had ever seen, whiter and brighter. And so John is saying, hey, listen, that's the Jesus I want you to keep your eyes on in troubling times. That's the Jesus I want you to keep your eyes on when it seems like the world is going to hell in a handbasket. I want you to keep your eyes on the concentrated full glory of Jesus Christ. He's basically saying, I've seen it, and I'm going to tell you, you better brace yourselves. John was saying, you've accepted Jesus as a faithful witness, as a preacher and a teacher. You've accepted Jesus as a resurrected Savior. You believe he's defeated death. You've experienced his forgiveness and grace. You've experienced that he's washed clean from sin. He's washed clean all of your sins with his blood. You've experienced his spiritual inheritance, the transformation and adoption. John is saying, but he is so much more. Say it out loud. He is what? So much more. He is the conquering king, the Alpha, the Omega, everybody, the beginning and the end. He is the one who was, who is, and who is to come, and here's the big word, the Almighty. Jesus is the eternal, all-knowing, unchanging, all-powerful, transcendent, meaning above all of them, Savior and King. Our hero Jesus will finish what he started. That's what John is starting in this introduction. Jesus is going to finish what he started, and every living person at the time will see it happen. This letter is a detailed description of Jesus' final victory. Now, guys, many people think that this book is too hard to decipher. I mean, cryptic riddles, codes and symbols. They think there's all that stuff in there. They think you need some special knowledge to understand it. How many of you have had difficulty with this book before? Can I see some hands that have tried to read it? Good amount of hands. They think you need some special understanding, some special reading glasses. Don't ask the Mormons because they got the wrong ones. Anyhow. But there's people that think you need some special reading glasses to understand. Some special knowledge. Kind of like the film producer who was shooting a film on one of our native reservations. They were shooting a film, and one day an old native man went up to the director at the shoot and said, "Tomorrow, rain." And the next day, it rained. A few days later, the native man went up to the producer at the shoot again and said, "Tomorrow, storm." And sure enough, the next day, a storm hit. Then the native man wasn't seen for about a week. The producer sent one of his crew members to find the native man and said, "Bring him to me." When they arrived, the producer asked the native man, "I have to shoot a big scene tomorrow and I'm depending on you. What's the weather going to be like?" The native man shrugged his shoulders and said, "Don't know. Radio broken." Don't be like the movie producer. It's not that mysterious. This book is not that mysterious. Every year, we're given an opportunity to partner with Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Ministry. What we do is we pack a shoebox with toys, with hygiene supplies, school supplies, socks, shoes, and a letter. The children that receive these shoebox gifts live usually in war-torn third world countries. They're surrounded by death, by famine, by chaos, and words of hope are few and far between. So when OCC, Operation Christmas Child, shows up and sets up a staging area, these kids flock from miles away. But you'd be surprised. When they receive the boxes, it's never a Christmas frenzy that we see our children do every year. These kids take their box and sit quietly. They almost have to be prodded to open the gift. But when they do, their eyes light up and the laughter bursts. But what these kids covet more than anything is the note from the giver. The kids wait patiently in long lines to have their note read by an interpreter. They'll even say, "Read it again," in their language. "I want to hear it again." They love the words. They love the connection. They love what they hear. Guys, Jesus is our interpreter of this book. In fact, Jesus gave us an outline of how to understand this book. Verse 19, let's read it. Here's what it says. "Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this." You see the outline? The letter is divided in three parts, so it's super easy to understand. The three parts is, number one, the things which you've seen. That's going to be Revelation chapter 1. We're going to finish it up next week, and he's saying, "Hey, listen, I want you to write the things that you've seen." Then he says, "I want you to write the things which are." That's going to be Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And then he says, "Write the things which will take place after this." See, the things which are is the church age. The whole point of the church, all the way to the rapture of the church. So he says, write the things which you've seen in the past. Write the things which are the church and up to the rapture. and then write the things which will happen after the rapture of the church. Very easy to understand. So we are going to walk through everything, every single one of those. The condition of church, the condition that our world is kind of following in the same steps as they did then. Many churches becoming compromised, giving in to relativism, revisionism, political correctness, losing their love and their passion, compromising their faith, Christians being scared and terrified, looking at the wrong things in the wrong places. He's saying, I want you to keep your eyes on Jesus. This book is very easy to understand. Guys, in fact, that last part that we're going to be talking about is what happens after the rapture, the last 7 years of human history, when rebellious men fall into the hands of an angry God. Here's how Paul described it, last verse of the morning. Read it with me. When the Lord Jesus appears from heaven, he will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who do not know God and those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction forever, separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe. And this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him. Paul was saying, I want you to be on the home team. So when Jesus comes, it's like when your team breaks out of the locker room. Everybody give a cheer. When we see Jesus, he's going to come on the clouds and there's going to be a cheer. You're going to be excited. There's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. And guys, we will be gone, cheering on our way. But then judgment will begin to take place on people who had every opportunity to surrender their life to a loving, living God, but refused and rebelled. And judgment will take place, and then they will see him. And when they do, they will mourn, they will tremble. They will fear. They chose not to bow their knee to Jesus before. Now they will do it. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is God to the glory of the Father. They could have done it then, but now they'll have to do it, for they are judged. As we cling to the simple.
You've been listening to The Simple Truth, a ministry of Pastor Dion Cordova at Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel. We're currently studying through the book of Revelation, which starts with a series of letters to some of the churches in Asia Minor. They were all facing obstacles from the world around them, as well as challenges from their own members. What's important to remember from this portion of Revelation is that God knows that his servants are dealing with difficult times, but if they remain faithful to what he's called them to, he'll bless them and give them the strength to endure. When the world around you becomes difficult and the trials are too much to endure on your own, hold on to Jesus, because he's seen it all before and he can carry you safely through to the other side of the valley. Well, would you like to hear more from Pastor Dion? We have more messages from this study, as well as many more studies spanning the entire Bible, available on our church website. Just head over to tmcalvary.com and you'll find a link to our YouTube page where we post all of our past services. Also, if you're in Española, New Mexico, we'd love to meet you in person here at Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel. We have 3 weekly services that you can attend, Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. You can also stay connected by clicking on the podcast link on our website at tmcalvary.com. Well, we've got so much more to share from God's Word, so stay tuned as Pastor Dion will be back soon here on The Simple Truth.
fools for you as you work in us. May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands and together we stand.
Together we stand.